Welcome, guys, and this side Akash, aka Terabyte from Psych Army. Welcome to our new podcast, and today we are going to talk about something that everyone wants to know about, and there have been a lot of questions every time we put some Instagram stories on this topic, which is for Capture the Flag, CTF. And to talk on this, today we have a really great guy. He's a star pen tester, a very known one. He's the guy who created this amazing tool called CTF Katana. It's on GitHub. You can check that out. It's a big time help and assistance for CTF players all around. He's also the guy with the mighty OSCP certification. So yeah, he can boast about it. He owns a CTF team as well. Well, that's something great. And the team ranks basically on the 50th position in the world. And yeah, he's a great guy to go through, and he's also a good friend of Live Overflow. And yeah, the guy we have today is John Hammond. How are you, John?
Hey there. Hi, I'm doing well. How about yourself, Akash?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking, mate. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been really a pleasure talking to you, and thanks a lot for your time. So, John, today, as you know about the topic that we are going to talk a little bit about CTF, a little bit about the InfoSec domain, and some tips we're going to get for pen testing and other stuff. So, would you like to give a brief about CTF and how it's effective in enhancing the skill set for a beginner?
Yeah, absolutely, sure. So I guess I don't really need to put out the background because I'm sure a lot of the audience and listeners might already know what a capture the flag is. But I guess I'll do it anyway, just for context. So a capture the flag is kind of a gamified competition within cybersecurity where there are kind of challenges or tasks or really just exercises where you, the player, are kind of given a prompt and something to do that might be involving some sort of technology or some kind of computer system. And maybe it's just a puzzle. It kind of varies in kind of the extent of what it is, but you'll be tasked with maybe exploiting some vulnerability or deciphering some cryptography or finding some hidden messages inside of media like steganography, tons and tons of stuff. And it's all gamified in that there's a scoreboard, there's a little bit of a leaderboard. So you have some motivation to keep trying and keep trying to solve other problems because that'll help encourage, hey, that player to, I don't know, keep learning and get better. So honestly, I think that's awesome at enhancing one's skill because a lot of times with the capture the flag, you kind of have a really small and narrow and specific cybersecurity flaw or something, some technology, some technique that's just distilled down. And that challenge is trying to emphasize it and highlight it so that you can learn and be a little bit smarter, even with real world stuff, with information security. And that, I don't know, I think that does it in a great way because it is a game. It is gamified and it's really engaging.
Yeah, right. So yeah, CTF like help in engaging into activities and performing like real time stuff, dealing with different kind of challenges, as we talked about, different kind of stuff like cryptography, steganography, and etc. Right. So I also want to know, like, you made this great tool, CTF Katana. So can you also shed some light on it? Like, how do you think it's gonna bring like some help or some sort of assistance in terms of CTFs and to the CTF players?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Oh, this is funny. It's like we're starting off with a bang. We're getting into it. So yeah, Katana has been a labor of love for about a year and I guess 2 years really, because originally I put together just a document on my GitHub repository that was sort of supposed to be like a checklist. It was supposed to be like, hey, if you don't know what you're doing or you've hit a wall with the CTF challenge, check out this resource that just has a list of things you could try, or don't forget to try this. Because I was always beating myself up if I was looking at a capture the flag challenge, and then when the write-ups came out, I realized, oh, I just needed to run strings on this specific on this specific file, or I forgot to try steg hide without a password, or I didn't use steg solve on one specific thing. It was annoying because I think some of the more guessy challenges or the more esoteric stuff, sometimes I would just overlook something. So I made that repository and it was just originally a text document with Markdown and some suggestions. But I had the thought in my head, well, man, I really want to make a tool that will do this for me, that'll like look through all the low-hanging fruit, that'll try and go ahead and, I don't know, rip through all the potential tools and tricks and things to beat up a CTF challenge. And it's funny, I live with my roommates, Caleb, but you might have seen him in some other videos or some things that I put out. He had helped kind of create the software for Katana with me, because we were at, oh man, we were literally just at a bar. Like, we were at Hard Times Cafe. I don't know if anyone knows that spot, but it was like, I don't know, there's a back room that's like totally smoking permitted, and there's pool tables and everything, and we were just having a drink. And then it was like, man, I really want to make this thing, because I think it would be kind of awesome. Yeah. Yeah. And he was like, no, this is totally doable. Like, we could probably put together a framework that might be able to, I don't know, determine what a challenge is and then run things that are applicable to it. And then we can make it like recursive, so that once it found new results, it could reassess it and reevaluate it and keep trying to drill down until it found a flag. So we built that. A lot of people ask, though, like, hey, what the heck? Like, why did you make this? This is just helping script kiddies. This is just ruining the learning of Capture the Flag. And we kind of... Sorry?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I got a fun question. Like, do people also ask you, like, you were high when you were creating this tool?
Yeah. I don't know. Because originally, I wanted it just for... hey, so I stop forgetting to run those stupid things like strings on something specific or stag hide or whatever the case may be. And then it became kind of so much more because we added in new units and more functionality. And then when we were like, hey, let's put this out to the world, we had that reaction like, why did you make this? Because this is hindering what CTF is all about. It's all about learning. So we kind of had the standpoint like, look, this is only going to help with the low-hanging fruit. Like, this is just for the baby challenges, the things that could be detected by a computer that don't need like a human eye or some manual testing. So it's not going to solve everything. It might get you 200 points at the beginning of a CTF, but it's not going to get you 2,000. It's not going to make sure that you win. It's just to rip through kind of the baby stuff.
But yeah, I like the point that you have mentioned, that it majorly, you know, focus on the low-hanging fruits, because that's where most of the CTO players do lack, you know. But yeah, that's really good tool, and the concept behind it is to help out with stuff that can be helped with, you know, and please maintaining what kind of things you might have forgot or might have missed. That's what commonly CTO players do. But yeah, I really appreciate what kind of framework you have made, and kudos to you and your team for that.
Thank you.
So, you're welcome, mate. Also, since we're talking about Capture the Flag, we're talking about strategies and we're talking about skill sets. So, you tell me this, like, what are your views on the essence of bug bounty culture?
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. So, I really love bug bounty and kind of all that it is and kind of what it stands for, because it is all about, for one thing, information security. And I've heard someone say, like, the industry is called information security, not insecurity, right? Because as much as we kind of love being red team, as much as we love being pen testers, as much as we love, like, breaking stuff and doing the sexy hacks, it's all about making things better. Like, it's all about actually improving the software. So if you have a bug bounty or a hackathon, the whole thing is so that, hey, people can start to break your software, so that the developer, so the creator, so the maintainer can make it better, so they know the flaws. So I really, really like the stuff that HackerOne does and plenty of the other bug bounty programs, BugCrowd and everything. Honestly, I wish I could make more time in my life to do it, because it'd be super fun and like the rewards are insane. Like, you see people that are like, hey, over $1 million on HackerOne, which is crazy.
It's crazy, actually. So how often you debug bounty?
Truth be told, I registered with HackerOne. I went through their HackerOne CTF and tried to poke around at it. And man, life gets in the way between all the other stuff that I'm kind of trying to juggle. Obviously, YouTube is a passion of mine. I obviously have a day job. I obviously have a lot of other projects and things that I like to do. So I hadn't gotten back to it, but I know a lot of the guys in the scene, Stoke Nomsec.
Yes.
They do any
Yeah.
crazy cool stuff, and I wish I could do that just as well.
No, but you're doing a great job. Kudos to your YouTube channel as well.
Thanks.
And yeah, you're welcome. So, you talked about like you do it not that frequent, but just tell me, like for a reference, like what would be your go-to exploit when it comes to web application security?
Yeah, okay, cool. So web is like my favorite category. I love just kind of experimenting with that stuff because for one thing, it's like really real world, right? Every single organization or company or enterprise probably has a public-facing website, and that's a lot of what bug bounty is. I think there's a lot more cross-site scripting, a lot more CSRF, LFI, etc. So I think web is really cool. My favorite exploit, or I guess my favorite thing that's a funny question. I really like local file inclusion. When I find that, it's like, ooh, what can I do with this? Because it's just a little bit of a tug. Like you can pull on that string, and maybe you could leverage it to a remote code execution if you can do some log poisoning, or maybe you could steal some sessions because okay, you can see the location where the PHP sessions are being stored. Or hey, you could find out how that program ran because you can leak into like /proc/self. I feel like there's a lot of cool things that can be found and taken advantage of with local file inclusion. So if I see that, I get pretty excited.
I like the sound of it, and I really appreciate the way you explained it.
Oh, thanks.
LFI, yeah, my favorite has been SSRF, LFI, RFIs.
Nice.
Yeah, so these are some, yeah, so we have a little bit in common, I can say.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, yes, it sounds like we're gonna date after this. Yeah, that's not gonna happen anyways. So you have been into penetration testing for a few while, and just wanted to like discuss a little bit about that as well. So what would be your like favorite platform when you talk about somebody beginning into this field or in this domain? So what would you suggest to the beginner?
I guess can I kind of I guess zoom in on that question? When you say platform, do you mean like learning platform? Do you mean like technology?
Yeah, learning.
Learning
I'm talking
platform.
about
Okay.
with
Sweet. So it's funny because I try to recommend a lot of resources a lot of the time because a lot of people ask. Obviously, for capture the flag stuff, I kind of point people towards Pico. When it comes to like penetration testing and some like red teaming stuff, Hack the Box is obviously in the mix, and that's fantastic. Something that I've really
Right.
found lately, and I love, and I'm trying to share a lot about it, and I'm trying to help people grow and learn about that platform is Try Hack Me.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think that one came out like a year and a half ago or some point, and I finally jumped on the bandwagon to make some content about it. But I think it's fantastic for learning because their whole philosophy is like, look, here are all the answers. Like, here's how to do it. Here's a guide. Here's a step-by-step process of what you need to do. And here are write-ups that already give you the solutions if you're stuck. So I think for someone trying to learn, Try Hack Me is fantastic. They have a lot of really friendly beginner-oriented stuff, and they certainly do ramp up with some of their harder stuff too.
Yeah, right. You're right about it. You already gave out like a lot of the resources for the beginners. I would say like which one's your favorite if you have to name one.
My favorite of those resources. Sorry, I'm thinking.
That's all right, you
One of
can take it.
the talks that I had tried to give some time ago was how to build a CTF team or how to build someone getting into cybersecurity, and I just had this laundry list of different training platforms like oh geez, Pico CTF obviously, Hack the Box obviously. There's Ring Zero, there's Microcorruption, there's Lotus SQL Injection, there's ROP Emporium, Pwnable XYZ. There's just so much stuff.
So again, we have a list of them.
One of my favorites that is, I guess it comes every now and again, so it's hard to keep track because it's not. Oh, I guess they are always online. The SANS Holiday Hack Challenge. Have you guys heard of that one?
Yep.
Yeah. So SANS puts out their kind of free learning platform as it comes around to Christmas time, and it's always fantastic. Like, they really ramped up their stuff in 2015, and now they've been doing some like red team challenges, and this year they did a couple blue team challenges. But they make the like interactive game and some interactive world to move around in and solve the challenges with. But it's always super high quality, and I learn a ton from that. So I do really like and would tout the Sands Holiday Hack Challenge.
All right, cool. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
So you just talked about some of your talks that you have been giving out, and I have personally watched some of your videos and besides as well. So
Thank
yeah,
you.
that was a good talk. Yeah, you're welcome. I want to know if you can maybe tell like what has been your roadmap, which gives you this perfection and the skill set. And I am pretty sure like the listeners would like to hear that from you.
Okay. Oh, geez. I'm always stumped at this question because a lot of people always ask, like, "Hey, how do I get started, or what's the trajectory or the ladder or the roadmap?" And all I remember when I was in, I guess, college, honestly, I would stay up really, really late, and I would try and just solve challenges on Over the Wire. I would try to solve challenges on Pico. I would try to solve challenges on all those different war games. And if I couldn't solve it, which a lot of the time at the beginning I couldn't, and some of them I still can't, I would honestly look up write-ups. I would honestly look at the solutions, because that's the best way to learn, is like, okay, someone else already solved this. What can I glisten? What can I learn and understand from that? Because all the information is already out there. Like, people are always willing to share, and that's kind of one of the best things about the whole InfoSec community, is that people do want to spread their knowledge. They do want everyone to learn and everyone to be sharp. So they write blog posts, so they make videos, so they put all these resources and cheat sheets together. So when people ask me, like, "Hey, what should I start with?" Normally what I tell them is install Linux and try to go through Over the Wire Bandit, so you learn the Linux command line. And then once you feel like you're good with that, excuse me, once you feel like you're good with that, try and learn Python as a programming language, and then go tackle Pico CTF, because that's gonna like light the fire. That's gonna make you really excited about it and want to learn more and more.
That's really good to know that what you just said, like it seems like we speak the same language now. But because there's a lot of times like we also get some questions like this, like what should we start with or how can I build this kind of a skill set, and we do often have this kind of confusion on telling out like what should we exactly do. I do get questions like how to stay up late at night.
Yeah, it's really hard, because the way that some people learn is different from person to person, right? A lot of my good friends just can't stand watching a video, but IPsec puts out incredible stuff for Hack the Box. Obviously, Live Overflow, the Cyber Mentor, just tons of them are do it in a video form, and sometimes with write-ups with just a wall of text. Sometimes that can be really overwhelming. So it's really, really hard to nail down and figure out how a person might learn best. But I think getting hands on keyboard, like jumping into a Linux command line, then you're going to start bumping around and you're going to learn stuff.
You're right. No, you're actually right about it because that's really important because this can be highly variable person to person. So it's sometimes very tough, to just explain a whole lot of people all together, like what should be the roadmap. It can highly differ. Anyways, this was really good what he explained. I also want to know, on behalf of the whole community, like I have seen like beginners are pretty elusive and pretty confused with the question. And the question is like which should like they usually ask which certification should I apply for, or and I have no prior experience in the InfoSec field in the domain, and what kind of certification I can go with. So can you suggest something to them as well, like what kind of certification they should go with?
Yeah, oh boy. The certifications is like a whole nother can of worms, but I totally necessary, because you're right. Tons of people ask about it. So when I got started trying to work through certifications, my philosophy was that I don't want to be like a cert warrior. It's a stupid name, I guess. I've heard people say, we're like, oh, you just collect every single certification that you can, just for the sake of having it. And I find myself today like, oh crap, I have a decent number of certifications, and I'm like, crap, I just kind of bit myself. I went against what I was saying. But I've always wanted to go for like the practical, hands-on, applicable, like application-oriented, real challenging certifications. That's kind of what I tried for. But disclaimer, when I was first getting started and when I needed to get a certification for the kind of the jobs that I was looking at, they told me like, look, dude, we need you to get Security Plus at minimum. We need you to be IAT level 2 compliant for, I guess, the US-based Department of Defense stuff. So CompTIA Security Plus is kind of a high-level certification that's talking a lot about cybersecurity, and the exam is multiple choice. So it's not on the keyboard, hardcore, doing real stuff. But that's what I started with, just to say, like, hey, I know this stuff. I learned a little bit about it, and I can show for it. So I actually would recommend that for people getting started, because Security Plus kind of gives you a wide bird's eye view of everything in the scene. And if you don't want to dive into on the keyboard real elite hacker stuff just yet, I would say, hey, do a little bit of research on Security Plus and see if you feel like it could help you. Once you're done with that, then totally jump and do some of the cool stuff. OSCP, obviously, if you want to like go off the deep end. I really like eLearn Security. They're kind of a budding new certifying body, and some of the stuff they do with the junior penetration tester, EJPT, that's fantastic. Like they have really good learning stuff.
Yeah, I saw your certification on Twitter. Congrats.
Thank you.
So yeah, you're right. Like you're right about a lot of certifications. Can you just like give a minute on CEH or EC Council certificates?
Yeah, absolutely. So I picked up CEH. Truth be told, it was sort of for like the HR thing. Like, you know, hey, people that are trying to hire you, or you're looking for jobs, you're in the job market. Some of them will say like, we'd like you to have CEH. Truth be told, I went for CEH V10, which I think is the latest now, and I know they released the CEH Practical. So I haven't taken the Practical, to be honest. I did take the multiple choice CEH, and it was interesting because it was showcasing a lot of different tools, and there's certainly ones that are necessary and ones that you would use for pen testing. But I wish I had taken the CEH Practical, if just to kind of see, okay, how are they asking me to use this? How are they having me do it? Because the multiple choice that's all about the practical stuff without the practical stuff felt a little weird. But I really wish, and I guess I should take that practical version of the exam.
Yeah, sure. In fact, even I'm planning for the practical examination for ECSA now.
Nice.
I myself have gone for the CEH MCQ based. So yeah, maybe we'll talk about it after this podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
Sure. So yeah, you talked about like CEH and these CompTIA Plus, Security Plus certification covers up a lot of major, you can say, concept information and tools as well, which are necessary. So I just got this question out of the context, like, how does successful enumeration depend on a pen test? I mean, what are your tools or your artillery that you recommend for enumeration?
Okay. So, oh man. For one thing, disclaimer, I am not some elite authority Uber hacks, or I'm still learning, right? I think we all are. So I don't know as much kind of advanced Windows pen testing as I'd like to. Some of the stuff with Active Directory, I think that'd be crazy cool, and I want to learn more about that. But Bloodhound is a quick and cool tool to throw in there if you're doing that stuff. Or EvilWinRM, I want to learn a lot more about those. I guess kind of my go-to, because a lot of the stuff that I look at lately is Linux. I also a little bit of web in there, because they typically have an outward-facing website. If it's totally allowed, if it's in scope, I will absolutely throw Go Buster or Dir Buster or Pie
Yeah, right.
Buster, I think, is a really cool one that one of my someone in my Discord server, Raj, had put together, which is crazy cool. And Nikto, I think I always use Nikto. Actually, fun tip for those that are looking at OSCP, Nikto will help you a lot.
I agree on that, mate.
Which is surprising because I feel like Nikto, you kind of just put it off to the wayside. It's kind of easy to forget because sometimes it'll help you, sometimes it just spews out a ton of false positives. But
Exactly.
yeah.
Been there, done that. I know that. You're right. So, yeah, after this, thanks for your shedding some lights. And yeah, you're right about this thing. Like, we are all learning, you know. I'm also learning right now on Active Directory because OSCP just have changed their standards, and I think I need to upgrade as well. So yeah, we'll just like divert a bit from the regular topic, right?
Sure. Yeah.
And I want you to keep going. Like, we want to know more about your achievements and your milestones that you have achieved, you know, like producing knowledge in various topics and on different kind of talks, different kind of events that you had been. So, like from your basic ciphers to real life based exploits, you know, so what's a special kind of message you would give or you would like to encourage or motivate people, you know, who lose patience easily and just like going through a phase? What kind of message you would like to give out for them?
Yeah, okay. I guess I'll try and answer that one in two parts. I guess two cornerstones for what I like to try and tell people. You hear a lot of time kind of the offensive security motto, try harder, right? And I always kind of like struggle with that one because I get what they're saying. I know. We all do that. We all try hard. We wouldn't be doing it if we weren't already trying hard.
Right.
and sometimes I get the wrong vibe from that, or it feels very, I hate the word, but it feels very gatekeeper-esque, like, hey, go Google it yourself or RTFM, GTFO.
Yeah.
So I in my head, I kind of change the way that I hear that. Whenever I think of try harder, I kind of change it in my mind to keep trying, because I remember when I mentioned some time ago when I was staying up late, when I was trying to, like, every day that I could, if I could find time for it, I'd go after this stupid challenge in Behemoth from Over the Wire, because that was the first time I'd ever done a buffer overflow, and I could not understand it for the life of me. Like, what are these knob sleds? Why is this EIP thing so important? How am I controlling that? I don't understand why the bytes have to be in this order rather than that order. There were like a lot of struggle points. But try harder doesn't help. It's, hey, keep trying. Like, don't give up. Even if you fail, even if you want to take a break, I do that literally all the time. I don't know. Some people, like, I feel like I'm just doing stuff all the time. I gotta be honest. Sometimes I will take a break and, like, go play Super Smash Bros. For a little bit just because I need to. And that's totally a thing. So that's sorry. That's position number one is keep trying. And then kind of position number two is share. Like, totally tell people what you're working on, what you're learning, how, what tools you're using, etc. And I think that really comes with the whole community vibe, is that we're all trying to learn, or we're all trying to spread the knowledge. So keep working at it and then share.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate the second point, especially that, yes, of course, like the more you share, the more you know about it, and the more you'll grow the community by yourself as well. One more thing I would like to add to this because, excuse me. So we're talking about it, and one more thing I need to tell that I just this thing just struck my mind that my friend used to keep telling me this, like every single detail is counted. So yes, even if you're failing, might be that it's going to be helpful maybe in the future
Oh yeah.
because you're just discovering a whole new concept altogether.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, you should, as he said, John said, like keep trying is the thing and share. And shout out to my friend Narendra Jangra for just telling me this thing. Every single detail is counted. All right, so moving forward, you shared a lot. We have already talked about your events that you go to. So, anything memorable that you remember from any of the events, or you like to tell something about it? Any fun thing that you did?
Oh boy. There were a lot.
Okay, just tell us the funniest one.
The funniest one. Okay. So this is I guess something that you might if anyone is I guess keeping up with some of my stuff, we recently took place in the B-sides Nova or Northern Virginia Capture the Flag, and that was
Yes.
a King of the Hill style game. So
Mm.
it was pen test oriented, where there were a lot of boxes in the range, and you were supposed to, hey, find the vulnerability, exploit them, get on the machine, and then lock it down so you can make it your machine, like King of the Hill. Like, so we had myself and my teammates, the guys that I live with, and just because it was a local event, which was a lot of fun. Once we got on the machine, we could see, okay, some team members are some other teams, external players are booting us out, and that was annoying. And they actually had a little kind of game mechanic where there was an APT or someone else already on the box that could kick you out. So eventually, because this was a 2-day event, we were able to have the overnight to go home and rest up and work on it. So whenever I do an in-person game, I'm like pretty gung-ho about it. So I'll spend that night like trying to script things or trying to make tools or help build the arsenal so that the next day, like, hey, we can really go guns blazing. So I wrote a couple things that were like an access script and a maintain script. So the access script would be able to like automatically log in as soon as it saw either hey default credentials or the box was reset, because they would revert every hour, so there was more of a chance for someone else to break in. And the maintain script would try to, okay, send out a beacon so that we have control of this machine. It would try and look if any other team members or any other teams were using their own beacon, and then it would try and like kill that and stop it. But the best part, the one that I guess 'cause is kind of funny, if funny is the answer we're going for, we would cat dev urandom and redirect it into the other PTYs or the pseudo terminals. So if anyone else was on the machine that wasn't us, all of a sudden their terminal would just be flooded with random characters and bytes and escape sequences. And some guy behind us had the sound on their computer, and somehow randomly it would hit the escape sequence for the terminal alarm or the bell. So behind us, I could hear as soon as I'd fired the script off, they were like, ding, 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 ding. And that was just kind of funny because they'd be like swearing, they'd be swearing and throwing things and be like, God.
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny. That's nice.
Stupid hacker humor.
Yeah, right. I hope that was intentional. Pretty more fun. That's good. So this thing that you just told just gave me two more questions for you. So you told me like you had been practicing a lot and you live with your friends and you keep going with this. So like fun question, like how much CDFs you have played throughout your career, like professional career?
Holy cow. I have no idea. So, I guess background, I guess I had started in the Capture the Flag scene maybe 6 years ago now, 5 years ago. There was a competition called CyberStakes that was for a lot of the United States Department of Defense and the military members. So I had kind of taken place in that, and it was incredible. It was the first time I'd ever seen something like it. It was the first time I ever heard of CTF time, first time I ever heard of Over the Wire. It was like, man, that just opened the floodgates because now I want to learn all this stuff and I want to get good at it. And that was a lot of fun. So from 2014, 2015, whenever there was an event on CTF time and I could try and make it, I would. So I have old write-ups and I'm sure there's over hundreds, maybe even I don't even know if 1,000 is even correct or not, but I would think tons. I would think over 100 for sure.
I must say, by the way you're telling me, it must be more than 500, 600, I mean.
I don't know. It's weird because sometimes I look at myself and I'm like, I'm not improving. How come I'm not improving? How come I'm not learning anything new? And I, to be honest, thinking back to those days, and I know I had mentioned it a lot, because I was able to stay up late and try those things. That was all in the realm of academia, when I didn't have regular life kind of getting in the way between a day job, between a significant other that I really want to spend time with and social life, et cetera, et cetera. People say, like, man, they hate being in school. To be honest, I think that time, if you seize it and you realize it, like, dude, this is all the time I'm going to ever get to really hunker down and learn stuff, that you gotta fight for it. There were some golden days where you could study and just do what, just the things that you wanted to do.
The good old days, huh?
I don't know. It's weird because no one thinks of maybe their school as, oh, the good old days. But I remember just being like an information gold mine.
Did I just made you nostalgic?
A bit, yeah.
Yeah, no problem. So, okay, let's move on further. Like, let's talk about your creation, Katana. So you made your own tool, you coded by yourself and with your friends. So for the beginners, what kind of languages you would suggest?
Like, for sure. All right, I'm going to go a couple different places in this question. My immediate answer is learn Python. Python is absolutely what I would recommend. It is absolutely a hacker's language. It can do so much. There's tons of built-in libraries. It's so easily extensible with other libraries. Python is absolutely my weapon of choice. That is the sword that I reach for when it's like a knee-jerk reaction. If there's something that I want to do, I'll do it in Python. I guess background on that. Sorry, did you have something?
No, that's it.
When I was learning, when I first got started, my dad was the one that taught me like HTML, and my dad taught me CSS, and then my dad, and that was all stuff to like build out a stupid website because I wanted to have a website when I was like 9 years old, and
yeah.
And then I was like, oh man, I could get my own server so I could host my own website. And then like, well, if I want to get a server, I guess I need some hardware and I don't know what to do to make a website hosted on a server. And then I found Linux. And when I was reading all about Linux, I found Richard Stallman and I found Eric S. Raymond. And you know how every kid like will Google how to be a hacker or like how to make video games. Somehow I found Eric S. Raymond's blog that was like, if you want to be a hacker, you need to know Python and you need to run Linux. So I'm like, okay. and that's why I opted for Python. Sorry, can I add just one more?
Sure.
Because you mentioned Katana and why we wrote that in Python. Originally, there was a lot of talk, like, it would be cool to make this in something like Rust, because I know, oh, there's so much, like, mainstream cool hipsters that are loving Rust, needed to learn it so I could try that. Or we thought, like, oh, let's write it in Go, because that would be super fast and be crazy for all the concurrency stuff. We tried to write it, and then we're like, this just isn't working for us. We can't prototype, we can't develop the way we want to. We were just fumbling, so we just went for our tried and true Python.
But that's good. I have been like using Python for almost like 3-4 years now,
nice,
and I can totally relate to it. Like, why Python? All right, so I just got a little bit glimpse of your past, like how you started. So, like, you know, everybody here is struggling and hustling enough in the security domain, and they are trying out to share the stuff as well. They are making blogs and they are making YouTube channels. They are making communities like we are trying out as well. So I want to know from your perspective, like, what kind of problems did you face when you started in the beginning, you know?
Yeah, okay. So if you like go through the deep dives and the records of my my channel and the archives, you can see there's some videos that are out there that are like 10 or 11 years old, and there's me messing with like Game Maker and an Adventure Maker, some baby stuff. And I remember for the longest time just waiting to see if that could ever take off, because I wanted it to grow and it was a lot of fun to put them together, but it's even more fun if people watch it, if people enjoy it. So I kind of flatlined and had those growing and would try to do stuff for like programming tutorials. So I tried to teach Python when I was way too young. I tried to make videos on Windows Batch when I was way too young. And those still exist. Those are still out there, but that's not really kind of what my channel is now. So when I started to do the Capture the Flag stuff those years ago, I started to record those. And those kind of grew a little bit. But to be honest, I reached out to Live Overflow, which I'm sure everyone knows, and I asked them, like, hey, dude, do you want to do Google CTF together, or do you want to, like, tackle something that we could do something together on? Because you're sitting there at, like, 200,000 subscribers, and I'm here with 10. So
that would give you that would give you a good push.
Yeah. And honestly, that's kind of what it was, is I literally had, I think, 10,000 at the time, which isn't incredible, but it's also not nothing, which I guess. But when I did that video with him, it's like the old Google CTF video. I remember that jumped me up to like, hey, 20,000. And then I was like, oh, dude, now we're climbing. So let's keep moving. And that's always been just a hedonic treadmill, like something that I really want to do because it's fun. But I guess my advice, the actual original question there, don't hesitate to reach out to the people that you feel like are in a solid spot. Like when I was like fanboying over Live Overflow, when I was like, oh man, he's got everything set because he has X amount of followers or he does X amount of things. It's cheesy to think that way because you can't compare yourself to others. Something that I learned is like, you can't compare yourself to who other people are today. You need to compare yourself to who you were yesterday, because that's the best delta. Like that's the best baseline, is to see how you can improve. And if you feel like that there are giants out there, there's nothing wrong with just reaching out to them, like saying, hey man, I really love the stuff that you do, can you lend a hand? Like I'm trying to grow my own thing too, and Live was fantastic, and when we met last year, that was incredible. But they're all people, right? We're all people, and I think a lot of us, I hope, and it seems to be in the community that we're in, a lot of people are extremely friendly and want people to learn and get better. So reach out. Don't hesitate. Be a friend.
Exactly. A little help is never harm.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So that was amazing talking to you, man. So this is the last question I have for you. This might be a bit more, you know, disclosing a little bit more of your future plans. So what are your future plans in this domain? I mean, what are you planning to do? What kind of good things are you going to see?
Oh, boy.
Are you making Katana 2.0?
I don't know. Oh, man.
So
a lot of people have been asking, like, hey, dude, can you make a course? Can you put out something on Udemy or something? Because a lot of people might want something like that. They like the way that you, they like the way that you talk. They like the way that you teach. And I'm really flattered by that. I really love kind of everyone's support. And I cannot say thank you enough for that sort of thing. And it's easy to get really pie in the sky and think about like, wow, what else can I do? Cause I want to build things. I want to make things. I want to keep putting out content. I'd like to keep kind of ponying around a Capture the Flag competition that I built, that I put together. I'd like to build something into Discord, and I've had a lot of thoughts for this, because our Discord server, we want to have a lot more engagement and a lot more conversation. So I wanted to have a CTF that was literally built into Discord where everything is public. Like, you can request a challenge, and it'll put it in the same channel that everyone else is in. You can submit a flag in the exact same channel everyone else is in. Because the way that it would work is that the challenges would be dynamic and generated solely for that user. And that might look like craziness. I have no idea, but that's been kind of fun. I've been tinkering with that. I've also been trying to put together a little auto CTFD generator that will help spin up a CTFD instance with like the dynamically regenerated challenges, so you don't have to deal with that interface, because that's kind of annoying.
Sounds cool.
I want to keep making videos, you know, like there's so much on the to-do list. And if more people want a course, hey, I'd love to do that too. It's funny because you got to think about like life and how annoying money is. The necessity of finances, because obviously I put advertisements on some of my videos, and it would be incredible if I could keep making this into something that I could really flourish in, but I support is necessary for that. So, hey, what if I put out a stupid, hey, like John Hammond Security, obviously not with that stupid name, but everyone does it, right? You look at all the other people out in the industry, and they roll in their own thing.
Right, see them all.
Yeah. I don't think that's bad, because if you do something and if people like the way that you do it, well, they'll come to you. They'll go to you. And that's why having your own show or having your own business or having your own thing is necessary. So maybe in however many years I'd like to try that. I have no idea.
Sure, why not? Because you're doing it. You're really good at making YouTube videos, I must say that. And you have been doing a great job for a long time, I see.
Well, thank you.
And yeah, you're welcome. And I really appreciate the efforts that you're putting out in the community and sharing this much knowledge. And I appreciate your time that you gave us and on this podcast and shedding light on some questions that people have been asking for a long time. So anything that you would like to add in the end of the note?
Oh, for sure. How do we do? Is this too long? Is this a perfect time? Like, how do we do?
That's a perfect time. Go ahead.
Cool. No, I mean, this has been fantastic. I'm honestly really, really flattered. I try not to... I don't see myself as someone that anyone should particularly, like, be curious about or care about or want to know the opinions of. So I think it was Muffin that had asked me, like, hey, can we do a show with you? Can we just chat with you? And then seeing all the questions that you guys had prepared, it's just, I don't know, it really... It's surreal, and I'm very, very thankful. So thank you guys so much for wanting to do this with me. It's an absolute honor and pleasure. So,
John, it's all our pleasure. It was really nice talking to you as well, and thank you so much for coming out. And yeah, we will be in touch for definitely. And I'm pretty sure like people are going to reach you out more now because you have already cleared a lot of stuff and they have already been curious about a lot of things. I wish you good luck for whatever future plans you have, and I'll be really glad if I can be a part of it as well later. We'll see how it goes.
Well, absolutely. Right. Thank you, man. The same to you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you so much. And on this note, guys, we are ending up our today's podcast. It's been really nice talking to this amazing guy. He have told us a lot of stuff, and I hope you enjoyed this whole discussion as well. If you have a question, reach us out at Sakarmi, or you can reach John directly as well. He's available on social media, on Twitter. We'll leave all the handles in the post as well. And thank you so much, John, again. You have a great day. And on this note, we end up the session.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Take care. See you soon. So that's it for today's podcast for Sakarmi. We hope you enjoyed the stuff and see you guys soon. It's your host, Terabyte, and keep tuning to Sakarmi.